The Noah Fant Show on Stokely and Zach.
Touchdown, Noah Fant!
Every Tuesday, the tight end joins Stoke and Zach to recap last week's game and look ahead to Denver's next matchup.
Caught for the touchdown! Grabbed by Fant!
Now here's Stokely and Zach with number 87, Noah Fant.
Noah Fant.
All right, once again, our guy is with us on a Tuesday, an in-season staple. Noah, you know as well as I do, man, some of these conversations are just tough to have when you kind of go up and down, back and forth, one step forward, one step back. This past week in a game at home, highly anticipated going into the bye, the offense just can't get going again. 13 points against the Eagles. What do you point to? I feel like I ask you the same question every week, so I apologize if it's redundant. But what was the disconnect this past week?
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. And honestly, it's the same answers I have for you. Is just the fact of, you know, when we get in the red zone, we have to put up points. And, you know, I've said that throughout the season, and, you know, it's still kind of living on. We gotta try to get that fixed before the season's end. And obviously these next seven games are important. You know, obviously we're in the hunt for the playoffs, so all of these next seven games are like playoff games to try to get us into, you know, where we want to be. So definitely need fixing and very quickly. So,
hey, Noah, in the first half, Teddy seemed to be looking your way a bunch. You had six targets on the day, five catches. It's not the first time, though, where we've seen that, where clearly the game plan is to come out, look for you, get you involved in things, and then for whatever reason, they go away from it in the second half. When you look at those kind of games, is it what the defense is doing? Is it their adjustments? Or what kind of happens on those nights on those games where it's like, man, such a big part of it to start with, and then for whatever reason that kind of tails off?
Yeah, no, I don't really think it's the defense, and I don't think, you know, I've seen it not just be me either, you know, with Cortland, Jerry, Tim. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that we got to try to figure out how to get everybody involved on a consistent basis, not just for a half or not just for a quarter or whatever, but throughout the whole game and running the offense seamlessly. And, you know, I don't put blame on anybody or anything like that, but that's just something that we got to figure out, because I feel like that we operate on the highest level when we have all of our guys involved. All of our guys are, you know, touching the ball and things like that. So that's definitely something that we got to make sure that we get figured out.
Noah Fant with us here on Stokely and Zach. James Merrillat filling in for Brandon Stokely today. We've seen two of your teammates. I mean, that's the big news here in the last few days. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton reach a payday. And I'm curious, your thoughts on those guys and your experiences with those guys. But also, in addition to that, you're in an important year too, and what's next for you with a fifth year option as you're in the middle of a season? Is that something that you allow yourself as a human being to think about, or is your focus just super narrow and try to block it out?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Tim and Cortland are both super deserving of that, of those paydays that they got. Tim obviously coming from being undrafted, going from different teams, getting to Denver, playing special teams and really making a name for himself at the receiver position. And now he's like one of our primary receivers on our team. So I think, I mean, that's truly a story. That's just one of those feel good stories, and, you know, much kudos to him for the work that he's put in, and, you know, he's reaping the benefits. And then obviously Cortland has been a huge part of our team ever since, you know, he got here before I did. And I came in and had nothing but good interactions with him and his work ethic and him coming back from the ACL. So, both of those guys are super deserving. I was super happy for them once they signed. But obviously for me, I just kind of try to narrow in on the season, man. I mean, those contract things will come when they may. And I'm just trying to focus on, you know, trying to put up some, you know, good numbers and some good seasons at tight end position, which I've had a decent start to, but just trying to keep growing in that aspect and, you know, trying to really separate myself from other tight ends in the league instead of kind of playing in the same ball range. So that's just what I've been focused on, and I'm going to let, you know, all the contract talks and all that take place where they may in a couple of years. So,
hey, Noah, I need you to settle a debate I had this weekend. Nebraska plays Iowa, I think it's on Friday. It's rivalry weekend. I think that's a manufactured rivalry that they had to force feed when they, you know, had some realignment. You played in those games. Is that a true rivalry or not when you take on the when Iowa takes on the Huskers?
Yeah, I think Iowa had definitely had some bigger rivalries than Nebraska. It's there, but it's just not, it doesn't hit as far home as people may think that it may. So when I was there, we never lost to Nebraska. We haven't lost to them in quite a while. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, we're going to have to see what Nebraska can bring to the table and go from there. But I think, you know, rivalries with especially like Iowa State is way bigger than, I would say, the Nebraska rivalry now that, you know, Iowa's kind of taking the reins of that trophy for quite a while now with Nebraska. So we'll see how the game goes, but I definitely think the Hawkeyes will pull it out. So.
Noah, a last one before we cut you loose. It's a very big football game this weekend. I mean, it is seriously massively important. What do you know so far about the Chargers team that you're going to see?
Yeah, a super important game, like you said. You know, I have a lot of respect for their team, a lot of respect for their coach Brandon Stokely. Or not Brandon Stokely.
Staley.
What's their head coach?
Yeah, Staley.
Yeah, sorry.
You're good.
I'm thinking I'll be on the show, but a lot of respect for him. Staley, he was with us in 2019, and he's been a great coach. He was great at the Rams, and now he's doing the Chargers really well. So I think they have a really good quarterback in Justin Herbert, and, you know, their defense has been playing well, too. Obviously, they have Chris Harris on their defense, so it's going to be fun to go against him. But I think they're pretty well-rounded on every facet of the game. So we have to come ready to play and try to get a W. Obviously, it's a very important game for us being a divisional game. So,
all right, can't wait. Hopefully it goes well. Noah, best of luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, there goes Noah Fant on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline.
Clearly, anytime you say, I have a lot of respect for Brandon Stokely, you're just, you misspoke.
Yes.
I mean, that's obvious.
Soon as he said that, I literally hit our talk back button to Richie. I said, oh, we got to save that. Got to save that.
And you know what? He also had my side of the Nebraska-Iowa argument, which is good. That trophy, they can put that in a case and just throw away the key.
I love it.
Get it out at all.
I love it. Who's CU's biggest rival?
Well, they have the manufactured game too. They got Utah this weekend. That's the one they've tried to force once they both went into the Pac-12. You know, they've actually had some important games. Like they had to beat Utah 3 or 4 years ago in the final when they were good.
That was the one winning season.
And they did. And if people rushed the field, it was a cool night to be up there. But
now you guys rushed the field against. Who was Arizona? No, I was at that game.
They'll rush the field if they keep it within 10. I mean, I'm bagging on Nebraska a little bit. It's like, hey, CU's in the same boat. But, man, there was nothing, at least for me growing up here. I'm sure if you're from SEC country or something, you have comparisons. But back in the heyday, CU Nebraska, when the Huskers were in the national title hunt, CU was, and they were putting 10 guys in the NFL draft. I mean, the week leading up to that, doing this kind of show,
yeah,
that's all you talked about. It didn't matter that the Broncos were in season. It didn't matter what the Nuggets and the Avs were doing early in the year. Well, the Avs weren't even here at that point. It was big time. So they have other rivals. I mean, you know, CSU is somewhat of a rival. But Nebraska was always the biggest one for CU.
Well, man, I'll say this. I grew up in a place that did not have big-time football, okay? Eventually, the university at Albany went to the CAA where you play teams like Villanova, James Madison, Richmond, Towson, which is like kind of a big deal back there. Seriously.
Sure.
But if you wanted to see big time college football, you had to drive 2.5 hours to the Carrier Dome, see Syracuse. Is that even big time football? You know, okay.
Donovan McNabb years, it kind of was.
Sure. Great running back history, all that. You want to go see Rutgers, you know, you drive down, you know, a couple hours. So I just didn't have that. In my backyard, I want CU football to be good so bad.
Oh.
I want it so bad. I go every year. I wear my CU stuff. I just want to watch big-time Power 5 college football. And unfortunately, outside of that 2016 season where the Buffs went 10-4, I mean, the last winning season prior to that is, I think, like 2005.
Yeah, they went 6-6 in the regular season in 2006, I believe, with Dan Hawkins, and then lost to Alabama in the bowl game. That was Nick Saban's first year at Alabama. I think they were 6-6 as well. one program went a different direction since then. The other one kind of went downhill. But no, I'm with you, man. Like, and I'm a CU guy. I get it that I'm biased. But when they're good, it is as much fun as you can have being a sports fan.
I can't believe people still show up as much as they do CU games.
I can't. I mean, the other night, they had like 45,000 people there on family weekend or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I went to school in Boulder. There's plenty of other things to do. The fact that they get as much support as they do for a bad team is pretty remarkable.
Let me just say say this while we're talking about local college athletics. Before they played a game this year, I said, there is a basketball team that I am adopting for the season. Did you hear this segment?
I did not.
It's Colorado State. It's Nico Medved. What they got going up there is so impressive. I followed their team for a couple of years, had a chance to call one a couple of years ago, and I kind of just kept my eye on the program and which direction it was heading. This team is 6-0. Yesterday, they were down. Richie, what were they down? 19 points in the second half? And they come back and win by double figures against Northeastern. Again, undefeated. I couldn't be more impressed. These guys, David Roddy, talk to me. I mean, if you get a chance to watch Colorado State basketball, I said in the preseason that this team could win 25 to 28 games. And my prediction was that they will be nationally ranked at a certain point this season. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But if you get a chance, watch CSU's basketball team.
No, I don't disagree with you. And Nico Medved's a great coach. And I don't throw around the word great very often.
No, you do not.
He is a great head coach. The question then will become, can they keep him? But while he's there, man, he's got that program rolling. You could be a CU fan, but you don't even have to follow him. It's been the exact same season for 10 straight years. They're going to win 20 games, be a borderline tournament team. They either get in and get bounced in the first round, or they're mad that they have to go to the NIT. They'll have one guy that might get drafted like 28th in the NBA. Like, it's the same story year after year after year. So right now, CSU is way more fun to follow.
All right, we have two teams here in town at the professional level that seem to be going in two different directions. And we'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next.